a flat circle. If everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Let's get wild at night. Turn the fuck up. We're going out tonight. I've been waiting.
Could ask maybe the biggest laugh I have all day. Hour number two.
I hope we get one better than that.
Yeah, maybe.
Blitz hadn't happened yet.
That's true. Good point. Good point. There's always laughter in the Blitz. That comes up at the end of this hour. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing for you, getting you all the great intros, but also keeping us up to date sometimes on what's going on in the world of sports. If you're just jumping in, we told you about two Texas Longhorns that are transferring. Both in the defensive backfield, John Bonney
and Anthony Cook, which I can't believe.
No, don't spread that rumor. John Bonney and Eric Cuffey are going to transfer. But now, Trey, we are hearing where John Bonney's going to be transferring. Remember, he's already graduated, so he can go anywhere he wants, theoretically.
And Cuffey's going to Trinity.
Cuffey's
going
to go to Trinity
Valley. Is that where Dion is?
And
I'll check that.
This is Trinity Valley in, where's that, Athens, Texas?
I'll check that.
I don't know if that's the same place.
I don't know about that one. This is according to Anwar Richardson, or at least that's the first place I'm seeing it on Twitter, that John Bonney is planning on heading to Texas Tech.
Whoa.
Tom Herman was asked about why he chose not to block John Bonney transferring someplace that is on Texas' 2018 schedule, and Herman's response was, I just want John to be happy.
Okay, that's a really nice thing for Herman to do. And for, I mean, there have been stories out there. We've had some players say, oh, you know, I don't think he treats players, some of the ex-players that well. But that would change that a little bit. But as a fan, I don't really like it. I mean, you talked earlier about some of the value that John Bonney could provide, and I think you make some valid points. There's a lot of things I don't like about this. I mean, one, Tech secondary is the joke I made. The break is so loaded, he may not see the field. Two all Big 12 preseason performers.
They're nasty back there.
But Trey brought up the biggest point, I guess, to you during the break, just signals and everything. I don't like that.
If you have to take time to change
one signal,
a thought, if you have to give it any thought, why wouldn't you just stop it?
Yeah, that's one of those where anyone not on our schedule. If you want to go to A&M, even.
Sure. SMU.
SMU. I was thinking Houston.
Houston. You want to go in the state? Right, call Major. Mage, Bonney wants to go. You good? Yeah, we'll get him on the phone to you. Fine. No, nobody on your schedule. But I agree with you. Yeah, A&M, anybody else in the state, whatever. But a team that's on your schedule... I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. But anyway, okay. So that is the latest on the John Bonney transfer that he is looking at Texas Tech. Again, we're in a very, the highly technological age. We find out about this because he and Eric Cuffey put it out on Twitter, and then they're going to continue to put information out. Texas doesn't want all this necessarily to get out, but it's how it works nowadays.
Yeah, I thought both kids handled it well, and I've heard nothing but great things about Bonney. So, wish he would have stayed, but he wants a bigger role, and I wish it wasn't against one of our opponents or with one of our opponents.
Yeah, so we'll see if that becomes official. No official word on it yet, but that is where I guess he's looking at transferring. Something could not, go right, and something could get in the way of that, I guess. But I guess Cliff Kingsbury could say no or whatever. But
yeah, I doubt that.
I'm assuming Cliff would want somebody the talent of John Bonney in his defensive backfield. John Bonney is a senior, but again, has already graduated, and he gets to do the grad transfer rule. So we talked about that. We are also hitting USC today in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. They are our number 14 team. And Kevin, I was talking about it before the break. We obviously know Texas has a quarterback battle going on, but people feel like they have a sense for, if you had to pick one right now, it may be Sam. But certainly Longhorn fans are comfortable with both of those guys. They've seen them play. They know what they're getting. With USC fans, though, they have to be in a weird spot here, trying to replace Sam Darnold with young guys. And the rumor around this program right now is it may be the youngest of the guys that gets the gig.
JT Daniels. Is that what you're hearing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, JT Daniels has apparently stood out so far from them. 6'3", 200, around 200, 205-pounder freshman, and they like what they've seen so far. We've seen USC in this spot before. We talked about that early run they had in the 2000s. And you go back to 2002 when they really got that thing rolling for me, and Carson Palmer won the Heisman that year.
Yep.
And that next offseason, I remember doing the same thing on the air with you, and we were talking about who's going to take over, and there were some, you know, I forgot who, was it Castle maybe one?
May have been one of them, yeah.
But Leinart was a redshirt freshman, and Leinart took it over. Now, I think they've got talent around them. I don't think they have the talent that 2003 team had around them, but you return a lot of offensive linemen, and man, they recruit. I mean, you look at the type of recruits they have that are in their program, even when they were down scholarships. You live in Southern California, you are USC, you're going to get guys even when you're down. UCLA is like that, Texas can be like that, Tennessee can be like that. The schools that, even when they're down, they can be frustrating to play. USC is not down right now. This is going to be a good football team. They're coming off an 11-3 year. It's just really about the quarterback, because I like Stephen Carr a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you...
I like Pittman. Brown's going to be good.
Carr was a great... It's kind of like that highlight we've played today where he's a great... He's kind of that next guy after Ronald Jones. And I liked watching he and Jones together. Now it's going to be, okay, now that Jones has moved on, can he be the feature back? Can mm-hmm. he be that main guy? But
I think he can.
I'm with you. I liked what I saw from him last year. So they lose Darnold. They lose Jones. They also lose Burnett, the receiver, Deontay Burnett, who was pretty good.
Yep.
The other new kid, can't wait to see if Amon-Ra St. Brown works out.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be able to live up to all that hype? The famous St. Brown family that's now been documented a few different times. He's Equinemius's little brother.
I think he will.
And he looked like a stud in that high school playoff game. The only issue is going to be, does he get flags for celebrating?
Yeah, I think...
Can they calm that
down? I don't think he's going to be punting stuff out. But he does have the type of attitude where, with the mall cop sensibilities now from officials and the way the NCAA looks at it, he could give a Johnny Walker first down and he's putting a pin.
Yeah, let's hope they can control that because they have not made those same rules like in the NFL. I mean, in the NFL now, they've laxed up on
they've
that
laxed
a little
up
bit,
on it.
Relaxed and let you celebrate a little. They haven't done that in college
these people
football.
Are watching for fun. Huh.
Yeah, imagine that. So I can't wait to see what he looks like. But, the reports, I believe, are that JT Daniels is the one that they're thinking about. And he is, Trey and I were talking about him earlier, he's the, is it Modern Day? Is that the high school?
Yeah, Modern Day.
He's the latest guy, right? And Trey, you guys had somebody on earlier today from the broadcast team.
That's Leinart.
That is thinking.
I think Leinart was Modern Day.
JT
Leinart,
Daniels?
Barkley.
Barkley, too.
Sanchez might have been a Modern Day guy.
Okay.
But yeah, he's the latest in the line. This guy should be a high school senior this year, but he reclassified to get into college a year early. And according to John Jackson, who was a record-setting wide receiver for the Trojans back in the late 80s, he's a part of the radio broadcast now as the color commentary dude. He thinks that it's going to be the true freshman who ends up starting game one for them. And part of his rationale with that is not only does he look ready in practice, but Clay Helton is learning a lesson from a couple years ago where he chose not to play Darnold at the beginning of the year as the young guy. And that kind of bit him in the ass during that season. Yeah. So he's just throwing caution to the wind and say, you know what? This is the guy who looks like he should be the starter. This is who we're going to go with.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that was the philosophy behind it, but Helton kind of taking what... And Darnold would have been a redshirt freshman, but we remember that team. They started 1-2. That was a classic college football team, almost Texas 98 on steroids, that in terms of their 1-2, there wasn't anyone in the country that wanted to face them that last game.
Not at the
end.
They
were dangerous.
Not at the end. Once Darnold had become Darnold and Juju Smith-Schuster and Jones, and that team could play.
Adoree' Jackson, who they lose this year.
You're right.
Nwosu, who's the linebacker, who they lose, yep. Who was third-team All-American. They do lose some people. Cameron Smith is back. Remember Cameron Smith was the kid who was injured? 35 linebacker.
Okay. Yeah,
I
want to
say, did he play a little against us?
Or was that Gustin?
That may have been Gustin. I mean, well, Both were out. Smith was out, but I'm trying to think of which one was playing against Texas.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Gustin who was playing a little bit against Texas, and he ended up getting hurt at some point, like late in the first half or early second half, and missed a good chunk of the end of that game.
I like Marvell Tell. I like both their corners, including Amon Marshall, who's back for his senior year. Like, this is, this to me right now, looking at it, them coming down to Austin, this is a complete coin toss August 14th. I want to see what both these teams look like and who they have for that game.
Yeah, it's going to, and that's another reason why we keep talking about the schedule and why that could be important. The fact that they play Stanford right before Texas. It's going to be a big part of this
thing.
It
is, yeah.
You hope that if you're a Texas fan, again, that can happen. By the way, just looking here at Phil Steele's magazine, he is picking USC to win the South.
Okay.
Over
I can see that.
Over Utah and Arizona. Those are the teams that they're looking at to maybe give them some trouble in the South. They play Utah October 20th. Of course, the game's with Stanford and Texas. They're going to go to UCLA, and they finish out the season with the Notre Dame game, which will be at home. But this should be a team that is absolutely fighting for that South Division, trying to get back to the Pac-12 title game where they went last year and beat Stanford, right?
They beat Stanford. Yeah. Beat them 31-28. They beat them pretty bad early on in the year, beat them 42-24 in the second game. So they'll get them in the second game again this year. That's in Palo Alto. Then, as Chad says, you come straight to Austin. They get tested pretty early.
Yep, and then after Texas,
short week.
They're going to go hang out with Leach on a Friday night.
Right.
Now that's at home.
That's at home.
That's true.
Right, but it is a short week for them. Yeah. So that's a 3-week stretch, which is going to be tough. Then you get Khalil Tate on the road. It's not the easiest schedule.
That's true. They do go to Arizona. First year for Kevin Sumlin with Khalil Tate. What does that look like? Kind of reminds me in a way.
He's pretty good in that first year with the athletic quarterback, isn't he?
Yeah, right. That's true, too. Well, I was thinking about the situation, too, with a guy that left this region and ended up with a quarterback when Strong goes to South Florida and you've got Quentin Flowers there.
Yeah.
You've talked about what does it look like when he's gone?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be my big question for Sumlin once Tate is gone. But coming in there with that kind of talent at quarterback in that conference, this could be a year where maybe it may not take Sumlin as long to ramp it up.
No, and to me that conference fits him more as a coach.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You get away with a couple loose things defensively.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's actually the motto of the Pac-12. We get away with a couple of loose things defensively. Come see us in the Pac-12. USC, and another reason why maybe they won't freak out too much about starting a true freshman at quarterback is look at that first game. They host UNLV in the first game.
Yeah.
So they get a little bit of a cushion to get in, right? They're not playing Bama or they're not playing Texas that first game. Maybe they're looking at it that way too, where he's going to have the sophomore that we haven't talked a lot about is Matt Fink. What a great name. Jack Sears is the redshirt freshman.
Sears I'm looking at a little.
He doesn't have experience either way, but let's say that, you know, Fink as the sophomore would be his backup guy. You put a plan in place just in your head of if everything went wrong, I guess, against UNLV. But maybe they get a chance to ease in a little bit with JT Daniels. But, I think Trey's comment is interesting about the Darnold situation. And it's that whole thing, right? If they're good enough, they're young enough. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
You sicko. Pedophile past comes out.
No, but that's the whole deal, right? If your freshmen are good, then play them. And Carr's a sophomore at
Carr's a good back,
running
man.
Back. And then if St. Brown steps up, he is a true freshman this year. So they could have a lot of young offensive talent running the show.
And then we talked about cornerback earlier in Devontae Davis dealing with the hamstring. I mean, even if Devontae Davis and Chris Boyd are completely healthy, I'm not, you know, the matchup against Michael Pittman, who is now, what is he, a junior, 6'4", 200-plus pounder,
mm-hmm.
can go. That's a scary matchup for Texas.
Guys, John Jackson was singing huge praises for St. Brown, too. As good as the freshman quarterback is looking, he said he's looking equally good on the outside as a true freshman receiver.
I usually wait on that, but I've seen the kid enough and I've talked to enough people, that, including Brian Driscoll, a guy we're going to have on who just knows the family and was following it. He's like, this kid is going to tear it up early. I think the only question is, like you said, is can we dial down the annex a little bit?
Right. Is the attitude going to be a problem? But yeah, you know that family. And if everybody's seen the Real Sports piece they did on the St. Brown family, that dad, that mom and dad, they are.
Kid at Stanford, kid at Notre Dame, kid at USC.
Correct.
It's pretty impressive.
Those are the three
parents got that.
Right. I mean, what they've done is amazing.
The two parents out of the three kids.
Yeah, you can say they're kooky parents, but they're kooky in a good way. Because one of them, the dad is in charge of all the physical stuff. The mom is in charge of the learning part of it. And she didn't let them do any football stuff until they'd gotten all their classwork done. These guys are incredible students.
Multiple languages.
Like we're saying, Stanford, Notre Dame, USC. You feel like they could go there even if they weren't football players.
Probably.
You feel like they could. They maybe.
The multiple, speaking the four or five languages. Is going to blow anyone away.
Right.
And trying to get into college.
Yeah, that's impressive stuff. So definitely some young names to pay attention to with USC. September 15th, USC at Texas is going to be a huge, huge game. All right, I hope you're having a great Tuesday. A couple other stories we'll keep you up to date on throughout the show. Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com to talk more Trojans with us at 5:05. Right now, though, Kevin's going to tell you about LinkedIn.
The right hire can make a huge impact on your business, and that's where LinkedIn comes in. Got another good email today from someone that has jumped in on LinkedIn, and they're already getting some quality candidates. They can do this thing quickly for you. They've got 70% of the U.S. workforce that is already on LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new jobs or open to looking at new opportunities, yet most of these people don't go to job boards. So if you're using job boards, you're never going to find them. You're not going to reach them. The way to reach them is on LinkedIn. They're going to intelligently target potential candidates. It's going to show their skills, recommendations, interest, even how open they are to new gigs. Hopefully, like yours, it's going to get your job in front of the right people, and you see the results because there's a new hire made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. Pretty active market here, not going to surprise you. Lots of people moving here. Lots of those people are talented, and the way to find them, the way to get them in front of you is to get on LinkedIn. Here's how we're going to help you out. Go to LinkedIn.com/HornFM. LinkedIn.com/HornFM. $50 off your first job post. Get there today.
All right, so
what are you looking at over there?
The Specs text line 337-3776. Somebody texting us that the Texas Tech starting cornerback tore his ACL, and that might be part of the reason. Says Bonnie could start in his place. The starting corners there, as I'm seeing it here in Mr. Steele, is Octavius Morgan and DeMarcus Fields. I'm not sure which one of the two guys it might have been.
I know the Yankees and Blue Jays trade a lot, but I'm trading in division here.
I know, it's a little strange. This says Bonnie wants to play for Jennings at Tech, former assistant at Texas, so there could be connections there. This says, how can he, Herman, block him? I thought he was a grad transfer. They still would allow the head coach to do that, though.
Even for a grad transfer?
I think even for the grad transfer. I mean, heck, they let Cliff Kingsbury have a say in Baker Mayfield, and he was a walk-on.
He was a walk-on.
They still
let, that's insane.
They let him have something to do. Yeah, I mean, so they let the coaches have a lot of power in this.
Too much, probably.
And this says, John Bonnie going to Tech. Shouldn't Herman be worried about him giving game plans to Texas Tech? And we talked about that a little bit, but if you're just jumping in, the story is John Bonnie and Eric Cuffey are going to transfer. Cuffey's already said he's going to Trinity Valley and then going to find his way somewhere after that because he'll have to sit out. Obviously, he'll sit out of D1 this year, but Bonnie doesn't since he's a graduate already, grad transfer rule. And the story is he wants to transfer to Tech, and maybe there is a relationship with a former coach, but that Herman didn't block it. And Herman says he just wants him to be happy. I know there's going to be some Texas fans out there that say, okay, coach, wanting him to be happy is fine, but they are on the schedule every year, so
yeah, you can be happy, but can't be happy there,
right? Yeah,
there are multiple places to be happy.
I'm all,
including outside of Lubbock.
Yes, right.
As hard as that is to believe,
exactly. I'm all for finding the best situation for the kid, but I've always been a fan of the idea that a coach can say to you, "Sure, you can transfer
on your schedule." Yes, if you're a walk-on, like you're talking about Baker Mayfield, that's too much power.
You should have nothing to do with walk-ons. But if you're on scholarship,
give him a scholarship then.
If you're on scholarship, even in this situation where it's a grad transfer thing and it's this soon, it's this close, where we're 18 days till kickoff of the first game. Yeah, I think a coach has to say you can go anywhere you want as long as it's not those 12.
Mm-hmm.
Those 12 teams we played this year, do whatever you want. Like you said, you want to be an Aggie? I'll call Jimbo tonight and see what he thinks.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen.
But It can't be these teams.
Right.
It cannot be the teams on our schedule. But Tom Herman decided otherwise. Apparently, John Bonney is looking at Texas Tech. All right, coming up, we'll get you the latest on the Maryland situation in the Big Three. Maryland is capital T taking responsibility today for what happened back in May and June. We'll get you that story. Also, keep talking USC. Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com coming up at 5:05 to talk about our number 14 team in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. Also, you can get ready for that afternoon blitz. That comes up at the end of the hour, along with One and Done from Kevin. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. High of 99 today and tomorrow. Try to stay cool. It's the Horn. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Remember, the football season is coming. We got 18 days till Texas and Maryland, which means 18 days till this game, too. Texas Tech and Ole Miss are going to play Saturday, September 1st at NRG in Houston. And for the Advocare Texas kickoff, go to hornfm.com, enter for a pair of tickets to the game that we will be giving away. What do you got here, Trey?
Guys, because there's not a whole lot in the way of inspiring music today, musical birthdays, music happening around town, I'm just rolling with more of something that you guys really enjoyed from yesterday, and that is St. Paul and the Broken Bones. This song is called Convex.
Yeah, it's a good sound. Really good sound. I think we may need some Aretha this week at some point.
When she dies.
No, just send some positive vibes, man.
Yeah, when she dies.
We got to bring Aretha back. We got to bring Aretha back from the sickness. It's happened before. You can't give up hope.
Not sending thoughts and prayers, and I'm not playing Aretha in hopes that it's going to save her life.
You can't give up hope, man.
I wouldn't mind to hear her. I can always hear her, but it does seem like it's heading that direction.
A little pink Cadillac or respect or just anything.
The family wouldn't be sending that out, right? I think the family is trying to brace us so it's not one of those Saturdays where you go, oh, it's been a fun... Oh, what the hell? Right. Aretha Franklin died?
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Yeah, Aretha Franklin very, very ill right now. And we certainly thinking of Aretha today musically. All right, so the football stuff continues. And thank you to our listeners, as always, on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Sometimes they're just entertaining us. Sometimes they're just smarting off. But sometimes they're helping us out. And thanks to the listener that keyed us in on this injury that happened over the weekend. So Saturday, Texas Tech lost one of their starting corners. This is a senior, Octavius Morgan. Extra sad because his name is cool, at least to me. And he did get hurt over the weekend. It's a knee injury. It's long term. And now I think they're saying it's an ACL. So the fact that John Bonney announces today that he is transferring, and then later on today we find out Anwar Richardson of Orange Bloods and others saying that it looks like Texas Tech is the location. We're having some people tell us that they don't think Tom Herman could have blocked it, but the question was asked to Tom Herman, did you try to block it? And he said, no, I want, you know, John to be happy. So I think he probably could have if he wanted to. But that may be, Kevin, why John Bonney is headed to Tech. That means John Bonney may have a good look at being a starter for Tech this year, because that's a huge injury I had not heard about on Saturday.
Yeah, and it depends if you want to play him at corner. I mean, he's shown at times he can do that. I don't know if he could do that full time, but maybe he could for them. I mean, I know that their depth has gotten better there, and I know that they have two guys in the secondary that were on the preseason Big 12 team, and people have had fun with that. It's gotten better, but I'd be really shocked if the Big 12, with as many guys as you have to play and the versatility that Bonney has shown, if Bonney wouldn't be a part of their rotation.
Because it was one of the safeties, wasn't it? Was it Jayshon Johnson got on that preseason team, I think?
He was one of them. Who was the other kid?
That's number 7. Dakota Allen was obviously on that list, their linebacker.
They have two, or was it two secondary guys or just two guys on their defense?
I think they had three on defense. Three on defense total. I think it was Dakota Allen, Jayshon Johnson, and then there was another one. And I'm like you, I can't think of who that other one would have been. But... by the way, there's a Texas fan on the text line that thinks it should just be a straight trade and the Red Raiders should send the Longhorns a linebacker. So I'm just suggesting Dakota Allen. If you just go senior for senior.
I think I've got my guy.
Yeah? You think maybe just call about number 40 and see what they want to do.
Hell, at this point, I'd take Brooks. I'd take a body.
You take anybody. Yeah, anybody in this conference would take Dakota Allen right now.
Yes.
So that's the latest on that story, and thank you again for helping us out there and try to kind of unearth as to why this may have gone on today the way it did, but that makes some sense.
Someone said K2, I guess that's what they call Kingsbury, has shown nothing but class every time he's talked about Baker Mayfield. I completely agree with that. I think he's been publicly very cool about it, and I even talked with him privately about that situation a couple years ago, and he, I mean, you know, there's mm-hmm. probably more to that story with parents and all that stuff.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, because Baker's just thrown out.
And I know he was just giving me his side. So right. I know that there's a Mayfield. So, I mean, I've lived long enough to get that.
Baker's had the thing out recently on the video interview where he said that, you know, after his interview, his injury, everything changed and Cliff turned on him and all that stuff. So there's all that out there. But, yeah, it is just a little strange. If I'm a Texas fan and you guys are both here Texas fans, and I think you've both expressed it today, but it's just weird. The idea that this close to the season,
yeah, it is.
You'd have a guy transfer and end up on a team that you're going to play, a team in the state that you're going to play. It's strange.
It is. It reminds me when baseball was wheely dealy, and you could just transfer anywhere, and you'd have guys in fall ball. I'd see him wearing orange and coming here for A&M to close that spring. It's like, all right, can't we get a buffer out of this?
But we don't have enough willy nilly anymore. That's a good old person phrase.
Did I say willy nilly?
No, you didn't. Okay. But I'm saying, we need a lot more willy-nilly out there. My grandparents used to say that stuff.
You think so?
It always sounded wonderfully out of control to me.
It does. I could hear more of it. I don't want to hear tons of it.
Oh, no, no.
I don't want to get back to the 1940 usage of it.
Certain circumstances.
Certain circumstances? It has gone away.
But I like the idea that you could be sitting on a porch and I don't want it to go willy-nilly now. You know, you want it to stay north of willy-nilly.
Yeah, this isn't willy-nilly, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Texas Tech may end up with John Bonney at the end of all of this because of an injury and obviously the defensive backfield situation at Texas. On the surface of it, if you're a Longhorn fan, you got to feel good about kind of one of the things that this says. Let's get into the
Have we gotten a Blake Gideon text yet? I haven't
no,
been keeping up with it. Okay, I was
one.
Waiting for
not
it.
Not one.
We're going to give him a DB to help him out. Why not Gideon?
Let's go Big Three here and get you updated.
The Big Three.
Oh, my God. John Bonney and Eric Cuffee going to transfer, and that's where we'll start the Big Three, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, 512-601-0303, or go to sinussnoringent.com. So John Bonney looks like he may be heading to Texas Tech. Eric Cuffee's going to Trinity Valley before then ending up somewhere else. Maryland, they need a new strength and conditioning coach. Rick Court has been fired. There's also a story out today that Rick Court reached a financial settlement with Maryland yesterday, and they're paying him, what'd you say, Trey, a little over $300,000 to go
yeah,
out?
Yeah, a little bit more than $300,000, which I think is like two-thirds of what he would have been owed on the rest of his contract.
Wow.
And he gets dumbbells.
That is.
Dumbbells for 5 years.
Dumbbells to throw at people on his way out.
I mean, that is meathead-esque.
It is. And I think
throwing a weight.
Throwing a weight.
Incredible. I mean, for anyone to be in charge of the weight room in doing that, like you should be the mall cop there. And it's like, whoa, you didn't put that weight up properly there. Could break a foot.
The mental hazing stuff of a guy needs to lose weight, you make him eat candy in front of the entire team to shame him.
And it's
just goofy little things.
I'm all for psychologically breaking these soft millennials down, but there are ethical ways to do it, Chadwick.
There you go. So DJ Durkin technically still has his job, administrative leave. The trainers are still on administrative leave till they really take a look at it. But Maryland has absolutely stepped up today for that family. They met with the family today, and
that family's attorney is so happy right now.
Yeah,
and don't get on me saying, Kevin, how could you think of that? I'm thinking about the family. Attorneys are attorneys.
Well, and the attorney
shark, so he's thinking, ooh,
and this, and all that attorney is thinking right now is
cha-ching.
They probably want two things out of this whole story. They're going to need to be made, not whole, but get as close as you can with money. It's the only thing that they can do. They'd rather have their son back. But
this is going to be seven figures, right?
I would think. Mike, like for some reason in my head, I'm thinking like 5 or 10 mil somewhere in there.
I'm thinking 3 to 5 million.
Okay. So then the other thing they would want is the lawyers already said. They want Durkin fired.
Yeah, Durkin's not going to survive this. And I thought he may a couple days ago, maybe even yesterday, but it just, as yesterday was even going and I was reading stuff, I thought, he's not getting out of this.
It is the ultimate.
And he probably shouldn't.
No.
I say probably shouldn't. I don't know. I mean, there's some gray area on if it's a fireable offense and exactly how much he was doing. But at the end of the day, Chad, he is in charge of it, right?
He
it's like
is.
But these presidents get off with all this crap, too. And they have with the cheating stuff.
Right. No, it's the thing
about... They need to get nailed for stuff.
Ultimately, it's on his watch. The question's going to become, what do they find out about what happened on May 29th? Obviously, they found out enough to know procedure wasn't followed.
They didn't read vital signs, man.
Right. You saw something today. They're not even checking the kid's vitals when he collapsed.
How do I know that? The president of the school told us today.
Right.
Which I think if you're a Maryland fan, and you know, I know that it's tough to be a fan and listen to shows like this if you're a Baylor fan going through that, or a Penn State fan. It's
sure.
Like, man, they're constantly dogging on my school. Well, yeah, we are, and we should. I think Maryland should be pretty proud of the way the upper management handled this today. There was no BS. Look, you know, they were slow during this internal investigation, so I'm not going to give them too much love.
Right.
But the fact that they stepped up like that and said, no, we're paying you.
We are responsible.
We're responsible for this 19-year-old being dead.
Yeah, without saying it specifically, that's essentially what they said today. So Maryland's going to step up and take responsibility for what happened. Now we just find out, does DJ Durkin have a job when Texas plays Maryland? They're going to play at the Redskins Stadium one way or the other. It may very well be Matt Canada, though. Matt Canada is their OC. He's their interim coach. And that's who the Longhorns may be matching wits with on September 1st. You could be playing a team that is in a weird place of upheaval at that moment if Durkin doesn't, or even if the investigation's still going on, Kevin. You don't have to fire him to make that game weird.
No, you know, it's already going to be weird.
Yeah.
Or there's already going to be a, well, you know, we didn't have full camp with the coaching staff.
Distractions. Our strength and conditioning coach got fired on August the 14th.
Do you like a sinister thought?
Always.
Oh, I know. You always would.
Yeah.
This could work out well. This could work out well.
How's that, Kevin?
Well, I mean, Urban played on this. Anytime you've got a coach that that maybe is having some problems, whether it's on or off the field, but especially off the field, and you can still utilize their talent, and they probably shouldn't be a coordinator, but they're a coordinator, this could land DJ Durkin as a number two forever. And maybe even trying to build back to a number two.
Oh. So what you're saying is,
when Orlando's gone, it gives us another fish in the pond. This is where my brain is right now with this.
Oh,
and the 19-year-old.
Oh, interesting. See, what it tells me is you may be right, and then halfway through the season we'll hear that Nick Saban has brought DJ Durkin
on. As a defensive analyst.
As an analyst.
And then we'll be a coordinator in 2 years we're not Pruitt. Well, who's the next guy who's up?
Oh, yeah. Whoever. Who's his next
Lofa,
guy this year?
Lofa, Tatupuits, Tosi, a poppy. It's the really good recruiter. He's an awesome recruiter.
I think you're close on the name, too. You are close. It's Tosh Lupoi.
How is that? Come on.
Very close. Tosh.
For a gringo, I nailed that.
Tosh Lupoi. That is absolutely well done. Well done.
He is a insane recruiter. I think Saban's going to probably handle more of the defense than he has in the last, and he's handled it. He's been a huge part of it.
But he's really got to step in now.
Really got to step in.
Yeah,
now.
Different than the Pruitt situation
or the Smart situation.
So right, Kirby was pretty good.
Yeah,
he knew what he was doing. Last night, if you missed it, the Rangers beat Arizona 5-3. Bartolo Colon just keeps on trucking. 5 innings pitched, and he got a win. Robinson Chirinos 2-for-4, a 3-run jack, 4 RBIs in the game. Tonight, the same two teams with Corbin and Gallardo on the hill. Houston back at it, hosting Colorado. Is this German Marquez?
Herman. Yeah.
Herman Marquez and Justin Verlander. That one I've got.
Let's see if we can get Verlander back going again here, man. He got rocked his last time out. He's been a little more hittable in the second half. But, I mean, for them to win this, Cole and Verlander have to be, right? Because
they got to be nasty good.
Yeah. Their offense could not reproduce what they did last year. But if you get we've seen it enough in the playoffs, Chad, if you get a Johnson Schilling thing working and you shorten the series and all of a sudden you go, we faced them how many times out of 7?
A lot.
Right.
Too much.
Too often, then it can really weigh the thing in your decision.
Couple of things on that Mets-Yankees game that we were following during the show yesterday. Yankees lose it, and first off, they fall to 10 games back of the Red Sox. That's the first thing. But the Mets won it 8-5. DeGrom's ERA at the end of the game is 1.81.
Mm.
But it's the first time...
He's over 500 or at 500?
He's 500 now. He's 7-7. And I think I heard this right,
he's
Kevin.
He's a 500-type pitcher, which is why... I'm so into wins and losses.
This
guy's one of the best pitchers in baseball right
he
now.
He is going to be considered for the Cy Young no matter what, right?
Yeah, if we were going with records and how good
other
he is,
stuff.
He would be 23-1 right now.
But I think I heard this right. He had two runs. We talked about it. He got two runs of support before he ever walked out there. It was the first time that had happened for him since like September of 16. Something like that?
He probably does his pregame warm-up early, knowing that there's not going to be any laps there.
Right.
Oh, I'll be out there in 3 minutes.
So here are your Severino numbers. He went four innings, gave up seven hits, gave up the four runs. This was the second time in four starts that he didn't make it out of the fifth inning, and that hadn't happened to him all year before that.
He was as good as DeGrom. As Verlander, as Scherzer, as the best pitchers in the game. You want to throw Bauer in there, mm-hmm. Kluber at times. The first half. He was, and even nastier with his stuff. I mean, he was throwing 100-mile-per-hour four-seamer, was dropping off a slider, had a change. He was dirty. There's, you know, I don't know if he's tipping pitches or what. The velocity's still there, not 100, but he's throwing 97, 98. They're just seeing him better.
Yeah, something is really going on. On July 1st, he pitched against the Red Sox, and at the end of the game, and they got a win, he had a 1.98 ERA. In his last seven starts, his ERA is 7.50. That is worst in baseball. He's given up a homer in each of those games. He's given up 11 total homers in those games, and now his ERA is up over 3. The total ERA. But he was down below 2.
I know.
At the beginning of July.
And some of it is with that park. I really think they messed up with that park. And I know they wanted to keep that right field a bandbox. I didn't think they realized how much it was going to carry there. Or maybe they did. But there was a righty last night off Severino who hit a fly ball to right field that carried out. And that's what it was. It was a fly ball to right field.
A righty just hit an oppo shot?
Oppo shot kind of state. I mean, people, you see, especially right-handers almost trying to utilize that right field. And if it's blowing right, I mean, left can be pretty manageable there too. But I think that's maybe starting to get to him a little bit. There's no doubt it's in Sonny Gray's head. I mean, Sonny Gray does not want to pitch at home.
That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
No, want your pitchers to want to pitch
at home. Yeah.
The San Diego pitchers have always loved.
Or sometimes you just go
to pitch.
Right.
Oakland. Yeah, Oakland? The places you love to pitch as pitchers.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, and that's one of the problems. Where did Sonny Gray come from?
Oakland.
So he was there in his head. It's so hard for him. There are foul balls that land in the 20th row in Yankee Stadium and most stadiums that the catcher or third baseman's catching because of the foul territory.
Right. Just a can of corn. No problem.
Yeah. And if you give up a homer in Oakland, you never bitch it. But that thing crept out of there 313 to right. No, it didn't. He tagged it.
He got it. He got all of it. All right, there's some big three for you. Coming up, if you want to jump in on the afternoon blitz, go right ahead. Pretty good yesterday. 447-3776.
You're the key to it, I got to say.
Hey, blitzer number four yesterday was world class.
Wow.
That was world class.
I thought about that driving
home. The Tiger Woods from yesterday?
That was good stuff.
That was incredible. If you missed it, definitely go back and check out yesterday's blitz at hornfm.com. Afternoon blitz coming up. Get in line if you're not already there. And then Kevin's got one and done for us. Coming right up on the horn.
The Blitz.
All righty, let's see what that afternoon blitz sounds like today. 447-3776. Here we go. Get in line if you're not already there. First blitzer on a Tuesday. You're up.
A&M and USC is ranked ahead of Texas, number 14. But somehow or another, we're favored to win the game. Explain that to me. A&M Analytics?
That's brand love right there. It is a little weird that Texas is favored by that much to beat USC right now.
We had Scipio on talking about it. I think Vegas is trying to get UT money, and there's a lot of it out there.
That's a big part of them setting the lines,
and they
too.
Also do believe in UT. He said, there's a mix to that.
And there's enough upheaval and question marks at USC. You can't just stamp that game and say USC comes in here and absolutely wins the game. There's enough questions around that game that I could see giving the home team a little extra love.
But right now in August, I'd take USC in that line.
Yes, I would too.
Because I think it's a flip them, coin toss.
Especially if you're going to give me up in that 9 or 10 range.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely taking 10 if you give me
I'm
up.
I'm taking whoever the dog is on.
That's
that.
A good point. Blitzer number two, you're up.
Yeah, players should be able to transfer from school to school within the conference, just like coaches, like Tommy Dumerville did from Mississippi to Auburn, and David McWilliams did from Texas Tech to Texas. So that's part of life, boys.
All right. Yeah, I've heard that take before, and if you want to turn it around, then that's always a good way to look at it because coaches can do that. But I'd also say there's things that coaches are going to be able to do that some student-athletes just aren't, right?
That's true, too. Yeah, it looks like John Bonney may be headed to Texas Tech, which created that comment. Blitzer number three, you're up.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the Bird Kid.
All right, little 1-2. Well, 1-2 punch.
Boom, boom, boom.
If you were a boxer, what would you be? You'd be the left lead and then hit him with the right, or would you go right first and then come with the left?
Right cross, left hook.
Right cross, left
hook.
That's
my combo.
I like that.
I just gave it away.
That's good.
Just gave away my combo.
Couple weeks ago.
Starts with the knee to the nuts, depending on your size and fighting acumen.
A couple weeks ago in a UFC fight, a dude got knocked down by a jab. And was like, wow,
that's a good jab.
That is a good jab.
Did he lock it?
Impressive. Yeah, got there.
Durard used to always say, you got to lock it. And he would hit me in the chin like pretty hard.
Really?
Yeah, it was old school, man. You know, not meaning to, but kind of popped me a little bit.
We really do need to have a movie made of Durwood's life.
Durwood's life?
Durwood's.
I just want to see a picture.
Yes, do you have a picture?
Yeah, I got pictures.
Yeah, I'd love to see a picture of what Durwood would look like.
I think.
Get a picture from Cindy, if nothing else.
All her pictures burned down in the fire.
Oh, that's right.
Like everything, her whole life burned down. Mom, I hope you're not listening. That's not going to cheer you up on a Tuesday.
You shouldn't have.
I love you.
Yeah, that's not a good memory to have there.
Hope the animals are doing well.
Now, when did Durwood die?
You know, I'm not good with years.
Okay.
A year after my grandma died, which would have been around 5 years ago.
Okay. So 13, 12, 13.
Yeah, around
somewhere.
There.
Gotcha.
He died of heartbreak.
Did he?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he was one of those?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lucille died.
How much after?
He was completely healthy in 7-8 months, maybe. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
You can tell. Yeah, you can tell sometimes, can't you?
You can tell, man.
Yeah, you can tell. All right.
He was funny at the funeral. Her funeral, though. He goes, never had a fight once. Never. I mean, I don't remember her fighting you. I remember you yelling at her. So I don't know if that's.
You were going to disagree.
No, I wasn't. But it was just one of those where I looked at Bob and Bob kind of, you know, Bob gave the good. Oh, no, you guys were a perfect couple. Never a fight. It's like, well, you know.
I guess he likes to think of
people mourn differently, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess
sometimes just want to change reality.
I guess he wanted to think of it as a loud monologue.
Yeah,
that's what he was looking at.
Right, he was doing stand up.
A loud, forceful monologue. Was it a fight? No, not a fight. Never a fight.
I've given the GD Lucille get the F out of the way during Thanksgiving for Texas Baylor, the 62-35 game.
Yes.
As we were counting it down.
Oh, that's a patient woman. It's a patient woman.
A saint.
Yes.
A saint.
No doubt. All right.
I know atheists that believe she has a special spot in heaven.
Let's get you your first one and done of the show, shall we? One and done time, kids. Here we go.
Now that was longer.
That was a 7-8. What'd you do?
5 seconds.
8 seconds of silence.
Come on, 8 seconds of silence. Brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, starting at noon. Now with Rudy's catered in on Saturday nights. Go to texascardhouse.com. And yes, for one and done. Remember, if you hear silence, we didn't go off the air. I don't know how many listeners Trey has lost for us over the years, but let's not have that happen. Just stay with us.
If anything, they're just more focused for this segment now because they're freaking out because they don't hear anything on the radio.
They're ready to go.
I've never really thought about their reaction. I probably should have thought about their reaction more. are people turning it off?
That I have no idea.
We have no idea.
We'll see what happens. Here's Kevin Dunn.
All right, let's talk a little USC here because USC will be coming down, and we're about to talk with Ryan Abraham coming up from USCFootball.com at 5:05. And it's always a program that I have my eyes on, partially because they were playing Notre Dame every year, and to me that's such a huge national rivalry, but also just because when USC really got rolling again in the early 2000s, that was a team that I definitely, you know, had a crush on and enjoyed watching, mainly because of one Norman Chow, who's my favorite offensive coordinator of all time, who but also their defense, and that was really the difference between the 2003 and 2004 USC team and the 2005 USC team, was the experience but also some of the talent that you had defensively. They had some good talented guys like Brian Cushing and Mawaluga, but they were young, and that inexperience definitely showed. When I look at their defense this year, I see a lot of veterans, and that's one thing that really scares me about USC, is if they can stay healthy, if the Cam Smiths of the world can stay healthy, and they can get some stuff from their defensive tackles, especially their nose tackle, but from the defensive line, this is going to be a B of a team, because I think everything I'm reading, Daniel's going to at least be good enough, Chad, with the running game of Stephen Carr, almost the full offensive line, 4 out of 5 coming back, and some really talented receivers. Daniel's going to be enough for them. It's going to be good enough for them to at least be adequate offensively. If they're really good defensively, that's where USC goes into a national title contender on the outside, at least on the outside in August. But they've got that type of talent where they could win the Pac-12, and it wouldn't shock me if this team, if they stay healthy, sneaks their way in or gets close to the playoff. That's how good they can be.
Something else we haven't mentioned on their schedule today is that they avoid Washington in the regular season. I think that's something to bring up. They play Stanford. They play Washington State.
At Utah could be interesting.
And they play Oregon State out of the north. And they play Cal out of the north. But they do avoid Washington. That is big. Which one did you say could be big?
They get Utah every year, but the fact that it's at Utah.
Yep, right. They have to go to Utah. That's probably
that can be a weird game.
According to Phil Steele, that's the second best team in the South, and I think others would agree with that. Utah could be an interesting team. So yeah, they've got a couple of challenges. Obviously, going to Arizona with Khalil Tate, going to Utah,
Palo Alto,
at UCLA, at Stanford, at Texas. They got some key road games. They get Notre Dame at home to finish it, and by then we'll know a lot about those two teams. That could be either a really, really fun, intriguing, awesome game between USC and Notre Dame, or it could be completely meaningless by that day.
It could, and that's kind of been the story of that one, it seems like, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe one is in a hunt and one is not. But yeah. Really, in our lifetime, it's been pretty rare that it's happened, but that the 88 version of 1-2.
Right.
For two of the top four programs all time, you think you may get that a little bit more, but it also kind of shows you where Notre Dame's been the last 20 to 25 years and where USC at times has been, because they've been up, they've been down, they've been up, more up as of late.
We'll see how far up Ryan Abraham thinks they're going to be. Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com coming up to tell us about this quarterback job and the rest of it. Is the freshman going to get the reins? We'll find out on the Horn.